Hello again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless everybody out there, and he's blessing everyone out in radio land and soon on television. He blesses people many different ways, through different programs on television and different radio programs. And God stated that he'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh in these last days, and the way he does that is through his Spirit, the Word of God, the preachers, his men and women preachers and teachers that are teaching the Word of God. So right now, the Spirit of God is going to be pouring out on you. And without any further ado, we want to get into part five of the Antichrist government in our country here, posing to be the United States government workers and so on and so forth. And then we also have a couple of letters here. What is it, two letters today?
And a witnessing response.
And a witnessing line response. So right now, let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint part five of the Vatican government in our government, trying to make some of us believe that they're the United States government. Never happened with me, and I know a lot of other people don't believe that this is the U.S. government. I'm a real patriotic person, and I don't like phonies coming in here and saying that they're U.S. government. They're actually Roman Catholic Nazis. They had a dress rehearsal of this sort of thing and back in Germany, Czechoslovakia, and Poland, and that was just a dress rehearsal. Now they're going through the real thing. This is the big hog. But right now, Father, we ask that you anoint this service, pour out your Holy Spirit upon it with this is your anointing for the ministry. Open up spiritual ears and eyes to hear and see the truth of your word, and that how close it is to the very end of time, and that it's not natural disasters that are happening on the earth today, but they're supernatural disasters, things that you promised that would happen here in the last days just before you come back to earth again. All the signs and the seasons are in place, and us Jews preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Lord, we thank and praise your holy name that you've shown these things unto us, and we ask, Lord, that by opening the eyes, spiritual eyes of everyone out there and opening their spiritual ears, that they'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto them. Your word is spirit and it is life. And Father God, we just ask that you give them that life, set the church, make the church stronger, the body of Christ stronger here on earth, and save billions of souls, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, where's the first, what's the phone response first?
Yes.
Okay.
A witnessing response from Fort Smith, Arkansas. Because of your instructions to go out witnessing every day, I met a Spanish woman at a laundromat who said the timing is perfect after I handed her the earthquake newsletter. She said she needed a church. Her and her husband both went to the altar at services and have been coming on the weekends for 3 weeks now. They both speak a little English, and the lady's name is Elva, and the man's name is Flavis. Elva said she is learning how to be a Christian here at the Tony Alamo Ministries, and she also said her husband has really changed since he went to the altar, and he really looks forward to coming to church services. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. You know, everybody should praise and thank the Lord, because it doesn't make any difference what we're going through in life if we praise and thank the Lord. We are letting him live his life out in us, that when we have no life of our own. So let's not follow these preachers, these false preachers, that say the Lord wants us to enjoy our life, when the Bible plainly states that he wants us to have the life of Christ, the mind of Christ, put on Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so he doesn't want us to live our life. Our life was worthless. He wants us to Sabbath, to rest in him. He wants to live in us and live through us. He wants us to let Christ live through us. He wants to do the work through us, though. And a lot of people are saying that God doesn't want us to work because he did all the works. That is a dirty lie. You people should read the Bible so that you can tell that what they're telling you is false. The only hope we have is, and the only direction we have is the Bible, the Word of God, which is Christ. When people say, well, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't believe the Word of God, that means you don't believe in Christ. Believing in Christ means that you believe the whole Word of God. So, in essence, the Scripture could read, believe on the entire Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelations, it states that Jesus is the Word of God. And in the first chapter, in the first few verses of the book of John, the Bible says the same thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later in the same chapter, chapter 1 of John, says, and the Word became flesh. He became a man and came into the world so that we could see how God really is, so that we can see a true personality. No longer is God an arbitrary type figure, you know, where you can make up in your mind what God is and so on. God wanted us to know Him. And He wants to not only us to know Him, but He wants to live in us. God knows everything about us. He states that He knows the very hair on our head, every hair on our head. And not only on yours and mine, but on every person in this entire world. And not only that, God knows, He looks right down into our soul and even knows our thoughts. I know a lot of times in the ministry that when I'll be starting to say something, the Lord will stop because He knows what I'm going to say. Have you ever had that experience before where you're going to say something and the Lord checks you? Don't say that right now. So He knows what we're even going to say before we say it. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And so people see, the Bible states that He knows the very thoughts, what our thoughts are. He knows what we're conjuring up in our mind, and He checks us, and He tells us, no, don't think that way. Don't you do that. And if we continue on thinking the way we're thinking, and if we, even after He's rebuking us in the Spirit, because He knows what we're going to say, and we go ahead and say it anyway, then you're disobeying the Lord, and His Spirit in you checks you. It tells you, don't do this, don't go and do this, don't go over here. So many times the Lord will say, go over here, because He knows what's around the corner. Amen?
Amen.
He knows everything about us, and it's just amazing that He knows every blade of grass on the earth. People have no idea the supernatural mind of the Lord. Who can know the mind of the Lord? If you want to equate God to you or your family or somebody you know, don't do that, because we're so inferior to God. It's, He knows everything that's going on. You could take a whole city and you can sit there and try to notice all the people that are going on. But then if you are like God, well, then try to figure out what they're thinking and what they're going to say in the next few minutes. Amen?
Amen?
And then couple that throughout the entire world and see if you match up what God is saying. There's a lot of people say, I just don't understand. Well, of course you don't, because you're nothing but a mere little girl or a mere little boy. And in the eyes of God, we're just children. Amen?
Amen.
And you don't understand, and we don't have any understanding unless we read the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And then it says, the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, which means you don't have any understanding is right. When you say, I don't understand, that's absolutely true. Amen?
Amen.
So you ought to just seal your lips and just read the Bible, and then maybe you'll understand. Amen?
Amen.
So many people try to judge people by their own understanding. And all the time, it could be very well that the Lord is telling somebody to do something a certain way, and you just cannot understand that. Right. Believe me when I tell you, you cannot understand it. Our mind is just made out of the dirt of the ground like the rest of our body. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to become spiritual. We have to start believing the Word of God and put on the mind of Christ. So, but that's just amazing to me that the Lord knows. He looks down into our soul, and He knows the intentions of our heart. And some people say, well, God, you know, once we're saved, we're always saved. I mean, God will just punish us sometimes, you know, if we just don't do what He says. God will punish you, and He will chasten you and try to get you to start listening to his word. But if you keep living a life that is not of the Lord, these people, God will curse you, and he will also send your soul to hell. He says there comes a point in a person's life that if you go beyond what the Lord commands you to do, and you just live that way, or you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no more repentance for it. It doesn't make any difference if you're saved or not. As a matter of fact, there's a hotter place in hell for people that knew the truth, and then they just decided not to obey the truth. And I see these preachers on television. I don't watch it that much, but every time I turn it on, I get vexed. In one way or another, if I watch it for any length of time. I do when I do watch the gospel, supposed to be gospel television, sometimes I do hear a good message, so I'm not saying that sometimes there isn't good messages there. Then at the very end, they say, God just loves you unconditionally. And the whole message that the man said, or the woman, just is blown right out the window, because God does not love us unconditionally. He loves you. If you're unsaved, he loves you if you come to him and you ask for forgiveness for all your former sins, and you vow, because the Lord says, go and sin no more. If you vow to not sin any longer, and you say you'll pick up the cross, deny yourself, and follow the Lord. If you rest from your old type of life that you were living before, and you just go ahead on, and you're going to serve the Lord. But if you don't, if you get saved and then you decide to go back out into the world and to just let your thoughts, your evil thoughts, control yourself, well, and you just let your flesh control your mind, that's why the Lord tells you to fill your mind full of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, because it's easy once you get saved to keep the Word of God, if you keep the Word of God flowing through you like a river. But if you don't, then you'll fall into condemnation. And I heard some people twisting that scriptures, there's no condemnation to those that, what?
Walk not after the flesh.
Well, walk not after the flesh. Well, they say, well, because we're saved, we're not walking after the flesh anymore. Isn't that sick? It's because they want to walk after the flesh. But you're condemned if you're walking after the flesh, and if you should die. And Satan really loves to kill people when they're out of the Spirit. And they say that God just loves you so much, even if you sin while you're supposed to be saved. Listen, the Bible says that there's no more forgiveness for you if you go and sin some more. Amen?
Amen.
Or if you believe that doctrine, there remains no more forgiveness for you. And all you can do is wait for the dreadful day of judgment. In the book of Romans, the first chapter, it says, because you knew the Word of God, and then you did not honor the Word of God, you didn't keep the Word of God, that God says that you're worthy of being put to death. Okay?
Amen.
Amen? Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm condensing it. I'm paraphrasing. The chapter's long. Chapter 1 of Romans. Read it for yourself. Now, these people, he says, you knew God. Amen? And do you remember what else he says?
You glorified him not as God.
Yeah, you did not glorify him as God. In other words, you didn't walk in the Spirit, but you walked according to the flesh.
Amen.
Then what?
You became vain in your imaginations.
Right.
And
you started getting all puffed up in your vain imaginations, and your foolish heart was darkened. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's very easy for your foolish heart to be darkened. A fool is one that doesn't believe that there's God. Ah, you know, okay, so we got saved, and we felt the Spirit, and you tasted the good word, amen?
Amen.
And the Spirit, and the spiritual realm, and the realm of the of that which, the world that is to come. And then what? Anybody else know? And then you become liars, and thieves, and every kind of thing. We'll go into that on another program, all right? Okay, so your foolish heart is darkened and you start believing these false evangelists, saying that God just, He'll just keep suffering with you, but the Lord says that he his spirit will not always strive with man. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to the next letter.
This is from Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear World Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the wonderful name of Jesus. I hope this letter finds you blessed and prosperous in the victory that Jesus has provided. Thank you for your package. Also, thank you for the good work you and your wife are doing all over the world, so that I always give thanks to my God for you because of the great job he has given you through Christ Jesus. I shall be grateful to you for 6 Bibles, 4 copies of the Messiah book, and some of your newsletters. I know Tony Alamo as a godly man who spends time with the Father getting to know him, communicating with him, and hearing him. Moreover, he's the greatest interpreter of biblical truths, piously fulfilling a divine command. Whenever I read the world newsletters, they are a light to me, and they are a revelation to me. I travel to different churches, sharing your literature in each service. I witness the power of God manifested in the same way we read about in these world newsletters of Tony Alamo and in other places throughout the Bible. In each church where I preached, people are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. God has blessed you, sir. I love you so much and will be grateful all the days of my life. I believe in you and know God is with you and helping you at all times. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Your brother in Jesus, K. Ebenezer from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. Well, all the glory goes to the Lord because I know nothing but what he pours out in his spirit. And like, even if I'll try to, I just don't want to say anything unless it's the Lord saying it. If he doesn't anoint it, I don't want it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we have the next one.
Is from Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, I was extremely glad when a young man of about 18 handed me your literature. In fact, since I read it, I have been changed into a different person altogether. I am praying you to include me in your mailing list so that I could be receiving your newsletters. Please kindly send me the Messiah and other literatures. Thanking you, I am yours in Christ. Alan from Odoben, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, let's get the first chapter of Romans just for hand it over here to me. All right. And we will just read a little bit from that. Let's see, these people that are telling you that once saved, always saved. Bring it over here just real quick. Here you go. Okay, get to that part where it talks about because you knew the Lord and so on. Go back to that part. All right.
It says, because that they knew God.
They knew God. That means you can't know God unless you get saved. All right?
Amen.
So they knew God. Then what?
They glorified him not as God.
They didn't keep his commandments. In other words, we give glory to God by doing what he says. If you ignore what he says, then you're not glorifying him at all. As a matter of fact, you're putting him out to open shame. Then what?
Neither were thankful.
And they didn't thank God. I remember when Sharon, my wife, had migraine headaches, and she wasn't... I asked, why are you not healing her? Because you heal everybody else I pray for. And he said, because she's not thankful. So I gave her a list of the different things to be thankful for. And when she started thanking the Lord, she was vomiting. And it was really terrible. She was just like marching around in the room, just saying she can't handle it. And so when I said, start thanking the Lord. That's the only formula. Because you're not thankful, that is one of the most horrible things that you can ever do. Because if the Lord is not blessing you, it could be very well that you're not thankful, or if he's not healing you. You have to be thanking God not with your lips, but from your heart, from the depths of your heart. Because if you're bitter, you're going to throw souls, and your own soul will wind up in hell in the lake of fire. I don't care how saved you are. All right, because you're not glorifying God by thanking him and praising him and by doing what he says. And you're not allowing him to live his life in you. No matter what you're going through in this world, if you're not allowing the Lord to live his life in and through you, if you're not living his life, well, then every little thing bothers you. Every little thing will make you bitter. And things that are very little to most people will become like mountains to you. and you'll never be able to remove them. You will never be thankful because you're so bitter, and that everything you just feel is like a trip. It's just a horrible world. But if you're in Christ, you're very mellow. You feel the Spirit. You're thankful. And the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of His saints. He comes down into you and makes life very mellow, no matter what you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
I remember many times in prison that I was just enjoying myself in there. You know, I was praising the Lord and thanking Him while I was rejoicing in my heart, while I was witnessing people, and I saw how hungry they were for the Word of God. And it just made me feel real happy. And I was thanking the Lord in my heart while I was witnessing to Him, because I saw them receiving it. And I saw them getting saved. And then I saw them become evangelists in the prison. And we had a big crowd of people that were murderers and everything, that were getting saved. Okay, now what's the next part of the scripture here?
But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Fools. In other words, the fool said there's no God, so they started believing that there's no God. They don't believe that He's watching every move that you're making. He knows in advance what you're going to be saying, or what you're not going to be saying. He knows when you're passing up a witness. There's an opportunity for you to witness to somebody, and He knows when you just ignore that. He knows when you'd rather lay around or watch some secular television program, or do something that's very secular rather than doing something constructive for the Lord. If you're working in a Christian office and you let it go slothful, the people are not ministered all the time, and or else you'll make out checks and send out two payments. We had one person in our office that sent out two payments, large payments for Bibles, so trucking a half load of, semi-load and a half of Bibles, and they paid double on it. And that amount came to $57,000, and they sent them another $57,000, and thank God they were honest people and called up and said, "You sent us two checks for $57,000. All you needed to send was one. One will pay you in full." So that's slothfulness. And the Lord knows all about that, your lack of concern for the Lord's money. Okay, and then what else?
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man.
Right, in other words, you're just like looking at pornography, like they're just openly having sex like animals do on the street, like dogs, and you enjoy watching that. The Lord knows those thoughts that you have, and you've on a farm and watch goats and bulls and cows and all that sort of thing, and you actually enjoy it. This is like bestiality. You're having like sexual relationships in your heart with animals. So you become like what? Read it again, that last verse.
And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Right. So, like, in other words, you're actually having sex in your heart with beasts and birds and the creeping things on the face of this earth. And so, in other words, you are what you think. If you think like corrupt, then you're corrupt. And that's why the Lord tells you to put on the mind of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, but this is what a lot of the Christian world is doing today. Amen?
Amen.
So now keep going. And when you're doing that, you become like a fool, because you don't believe the Lord is watching what's entering into your mind. And you're saying things that it's not coming from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? And this makes me so angry that sometimes I can become, you know, people will think, "Wow, you know, this guy is really adamant about slothfulness and idleness and things like that." And I am. Okay, I have to confess that. So now you people, you know, in the federal government, you can come and get me now, because I'm I'm godly, okay. Isn't that terrible to you weasels out there? Okay, then what?
Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness.
That's why, see, you, these beasts that are out in the world, they just rail on us for being holy, and the Lord gives them up to uncleanness. We're clean, and they're filthy. They're dirty, according to God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
Right. I mean, they're like on television, you know, sporting their naked bodies. And if television were good enough, I suppose you'd be able to see all the bruises, blemishes, and the white and black heads all over their weasel frames. Amen? Yuck! Okay, what else?
Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Go ahead.
For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections.
Well, wait a minute now. See, they were saved, and now the Bible here is saying that God gave them up to vile affections. Amen?
Amen.
Vile, you vile, you know. There's nothing worse than vile. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Vile affections. Then what?
For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Lesbians. And they think that's really, you know, that they're doing something that has never been done. This is like going back years ago. Lesbianism and homosexuality goes back thousands of years ago, right from the beginning of time almost. Okay? And so then what?
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another.
You know, homosexuals. Because they're like reprobate. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, rejects of God. God's not letting them into heaven. You think God's going to let a person into heaven that's always thinking about having sex?
No.
And with beasts and everything, birds?
No.
Cats and dogs? Okay, then what?
Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Yeah, a mind that rejects God, and God rejects them. So that just kills the theory, this false doctrine of once saved, always saved. Because it says right at the beginning that they were saved. Now he's saying God himself makes them believe a lie. Then what?
To do those things which are not convenient.
He turns them over to that. They start thinking it's all right to be a queer. All right, then what?
Being filled with all unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness. Now, not a little unrighteousness. And then these weasels have the right, they think they have the right because they said the prayer to call themselves the righteousness of God. And that God will just love them unconditionally no matter what they're thinking or anything. God, all of God's ways are judgment, folks. Believe that, alright? I'm reading the Bible to you. I'm having her read it. The reason I don't read is because I've got real bad eyes. Matter of fact, I'm deemed legally blind, and that's why I have people read for me, but I've read these before that happened to me. I've read the scriptures for years, year after years, 41 years. Okay, then go ahead.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit.
Oh, they want to debate. We just don't understand. Will you explain that to me? Read the Bible. The Bible will explain, and then you'll have understanding. It says, seek for understanding with all your heart. Wisdom. You know, it's the principal thing. Amen?
Amen.
The main thing is to fear God and do what he says. Fear him enough to where you keep his commandments, because if you don't, you're not going to heaven. You are definitely going to hell and the lake of fire. And you're not going to like it there. It's forever. If you disbelieve this, that's a sad case scenario, all right? Then what else?
Malignity, whisperers, backbiters.
They always, you know, backbiting people. Instead of being up front, if I have something to say to somebody, I'll say it right to your face. Okay? I'm not going to go around and bite your back. I might bite your nose, but not your back. Okay, then what else? But I'll do it right in front of you, okay? Then what else?
Haters of God, despiteful.
They do hate God. You know, these people really hate God because they don't like it that they can't be lesbians or homosexuals. They don't like it that they can't lust after animals having sex. They don't like it that they can't dwell in their minds on sexual relationships with one person. They fantasize about having sex relationships with many people. It just really, that's their life. That's their what they love. Because God turned them over to that, all right? A reject. They're rejects. Chaff. Goats. To be burned forever. Then what?
Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection.
That's why I won't do business with anyone. If they tell me we're going to do it this way, and then all of a sudden they say, you get down to brass tacks, they're not going to do it that way. They want to do it a whole different way and say, look, I don't do business with liars. You know, take your whatever you got and go. Then what else? Because I know they got to be homosexuals or something, because it tells me, I know what the actual composition is of a homosexual or a lesbian, and all these things they are. Then what else?
Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay, that's it. They're worthy of death. And so these are people that were once saved, and God says they're worthy of death, and that he sends, turns them over to a reprobate mind, okay, and causes them to think that the lust that they're having is all right and that God's not seeing it. But I marveled. God showed me that he sees everything. The first time he visited me in that office, I knew that he knew every blade of grass, every hair on the head, and I knew everything that he knew about me in the past. And I just thank God that God showed that to me, because I don't care what the theory is of the Catholic cult or anybody else, or they say that evolution is right and all this. Believe me, I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Before God, may God strike me dead and send my soul to hell. I saw him right before my eyes with my eyes wide open. He appeared in front of me. And I thought that I'd be very frightened when if I ever got to see the Lord. But I wasn't. It was like I just wanted to be with him more than anything in the whole that I've ever wanted in my life. And that happened maybe, I don't know, maybe it was 20 years ago. After I'd been saved for about 4 years, 3 or 4 years, it was 20, 21 years ago, and I've been disappointed ever since then that I never got to go with them. I can't wait to go to heaven. This is a mud ball that we're on, and the people are so vile, and the things are getting to be so wicked on this earth that it's not a nice place to live anymore. I remember when I was a boy, back in Windham, Montana, it was so glorious. The sun would be out during the day, and there's just nobody around, a beautiful little rolling hills, and I'd see little families of skunks, the mother skunk and little baby skunks were going through the weeds, and I thought it was so sweet, you know, and pretty and nice. And I was very young, about 4 or 5 years old, and my Uncle Gordon, who actually designed the first atomic sub, the Nautilus, and then the Polaris sub, he was going to shoot him, and I grabbed the gun, and he says, you stop grabbing this gun. It was a rifle. He says, or I'll shoot you. And I really didn't care. I mean, I didn't want him to shoot me because it was such a pretty day. But I grabbed onto that rifle. I just could not. They looked so happy, those little skunks. And, you know, he liked to kill different animals. I couldn't even stand it, you know. So all you animal lovers out there, you know, you can see that I'm not that bad, right? Okay, you've heard all kinds of bad stories about me, but I couldn't be cruel to an animal at all, or to especially to a human being. Not to a human being, my God. That's like the creation of God in the image and likeness of the Lord. This is the way I think. Okay, this is just part of the way I think. I believe the Word of God. Okay, now let's get into this part five of the Antichrist government, who is trying to tell us that they're the U.S. government, and I ain't going for it, folks. Maybe you have. Maybe they deceived you because the Bible says that the whole world would be deceived. But I'm not, because I have the mind of Christ. I put on the whole Word of God in my mind. And that's the way I think. And anyone that doesn't think that way, I can't stand them. Because, you know, so if you want me to stand you, then read the Bible and do what it says. Because if I can't stand you, it's for sure the Lord won't. Okay?
Amen.
And if the Lord can't stand you, either can I, because I love the Lord and I love the way He thinks.
Amen.
His words are perfect. And they're true. They're absolutely true. Okay, go ahead.
God said in the last days through the prophet Joel, and reiterated it through Peter in the New Testament, that He was going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, that His servants and handmaids would prophesy. People refuse to believe that God pours out His Spirit through His servants and handmaidens through preaching.
His Spirit is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So when we're preaching the Word of God, that's His Spirit being poured out on you. And so don't reject the Spirit of God, the Word of God. He said, the words that I speak unto you are Spirit, God's Spirit, and God's life. So when you receive the actual Spirit, God's Spirit, through His Word, which is the Spirit and life, then you're receiving God's life into you, immortal life. But if you reject His Spirit, His life, well, then there's no place for you in heaven. And there's only one other place to go, and that's hell and the lake of fire. Death and hell shall be thrown into the lake of fire, and the people there will be weeping, wailing, gnashing on their teeth, chewing on their tongues for the pain. And it never ends forever. Now, you think you can be wise in your own conceit? Bible, don't lean unto your own understanding or the understanding of some trollop on television that's telling you anything that's contrary to the Word of God, because if anyone preaches any other gospel than what is in the Bible, let them be accursed, the Apostle Paul said. And then he reiterates it again just a few verses later, saying, if anyone preaches any other doctrine to you other than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. Amen?
Amen.
Accursed. And if you're accursed, then cursed will be the fruit of your body. That's why you see so many people that are deformed and so many freaks, you know, because it's a curse unto them. You know that the people that have had these problems, where their children are cursed, you know that there is something wrong with their lives. All right? But if you, and they, you say, well, God is cruel. No, you're cruel because you don't obey the Lord's word. And if you did, souls would be saved. And you don't consider that at all to be of any value, that a person can escape hell by believing the Word of God, can escape the lake of fire by believing the Word of God and passing it on to everybody else. The Lord created every human being that's alive and has ever lived before, and He wants them saved. And they get saved by the preaching of the Word. It pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And if you think it's foolish, well, then you're a fool. Okay, then what?
But this is how the Spirit of God is being poured out upon all flesh. This is where we left off in yesterday's message, so I'll begin here. That was just to reiterate a little bit to get you back up to speed.
Right, so the Lord's Spirit is being poured out on all the men and women in the world by the people, us people, those of us that are saved, those of us that have been called and chosen by the Lord to preach the gospel to you. And the Spirit is now, if you're listening to this broadcast, is being poured out on you right now. So don't reject the Spirit, okay? Go ahead.
Prophets are always witnesses for God by the Holy Spirit. Therefore they are more than, quote, justified by faith in Christ Jesus to enter heaven and to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, unquote. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Also by faith we have access to the power or grace of God. And by God in Christ living in us, we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The two witnesses mentioned in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation are called prophets because of what they do. They witness or prophesy for God. The deceived world hates them for this and rejoice at the prophets' deaths by sending presents to each other. Again, the prophet's work is to prophesy. They always prophesy the will and the purpose of God. They are his ambassadors, and God speaks through their mouths. This is truly what a prophet is. We see in the Word of God that when Aaron became a prophet for Moses, he was the example for all the future prophets. This was because he acted as a spokesman of God for Moses. We are to be both spokesmen and mouthpieces for God. Therefore, we become instruments or agents through which God utters his will and his purpose to man. He, through the mouths of the prophets, utters whatever he desires to tell man. The work of a prophet is to let God prophesy through him. God has always had prophets on earth. The entire church of Christ, his body, his bride, is a witness or prophet for God.
Now, I'm not talking about the church that calls himself the church of Christ, that doesn't believe in music and, gospel music, and they don't believe in the blood of Jesus. They believe that you're saved by the water baptism. But the only way you can get saved is to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And then after that, you get baptized in water. So what they call the Church of Christ, that is really not the Church of Christ, I call a bloodless cult. They don't believe in the blood of Jesus, and they don't believe in rejoicing in the Spirit and rejoicing in the Lord. To be so happy that you're in the Spirit and that you have the power of God in you to keep the commandments, that in itself is such a wonderful thing to rejoice about. Okay, now go ahead.
The
body of Christ, the born-again, Spirit-filled Christians that believe the whole Word of God, those are the... That is the very church of God or Christ. Okay, then what?
The word of God comes forth to the world, to the sons of men, both in and through the church, the body of Christ. The booming sound of God's voice and God's purpose rings into the ears of mankind through the mouths of the prophets. The voice of God through his church is also carried to, quote, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, unquote. Because God instructs even the angels in heaven by or through his church here on earth. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10.
Not the angels. Look into the things that we're doing here on earth. They're amazed at what God is doing in and through us. Because Christ in us is quite amazing. Amen?
Amen.
He just amazes people. And people get so jealous. They say, well, why do you... You know, you must think you're real hot because you have all the answers. And I said, well, I do have all the answers, but it's him in me. God gave me this gift, and so I don't glory in that I have a gift because it was given to me. Okay? It's something that I didn't have before, and then the Lord gave it to me, and now I have it. And so I give all the thanks and the glory and the honor to the Lord, not to anything, to myself at all. That would really be crazy. I see a lot of supposed to be ministers, they walk around all puffed up. One of them is on the airplane, and they grabbed this poor steward up there and says, hang my robes up. Don't you know who I am? This is, and the guy got very scared of him. Do you remember who that was? Robert Schuller, yeah. Oh, we know who you are. You're part of the Catholic cult, Mr. Schuller. Yeah, we know who you are. You're a big shot, but you're an old man. And you've got one foot in the grave and the other one in the funeral parlor. You better shape up, my friend, and don't be exalting the Antichrist any longer. And this big tower of glass that you've built. God's going to knock that thing to shivers one of these days. And I pray that you congregate, or the people that congregate there won't be in the building when it happens. I pray that you repent and get out of there before it's too late. Then what?
When the voice of God is speaking through members of the body of Christ, God's church here on earth, even the angels in heaven know they must listen. Every genuine member of the body of Christ is a confessor of the true God, one in whose confession the will and purpose of God in Christ Jesus is both testified and prophesied of. This means every genuine Christian is a real prophet that God continuously speaks through. Every genuine Christian is a true career Christian. They are Christian confessors who prophesy against the wickedness of the world, who prophesy on the necessity of godliness, and who prophesy on the way to salvation in Christ, which is Christ living and working both in us and through us by faith. Some people take issue with the fact that God, Jesus, myself, and other saints of God make known the wickedness of the world that needs reproving. Those who say such things are not members of God's church. They are not prophets. They are either those who need to be saved and will be saved, or those who will surely be destroyed, those who will be rejected by God, then cast into hell for eternity in the lake of fire. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 states, quote, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light," unquote. The job of the church, the prophets of the Lord, is to obediently make manifest the wickedness of the world, the necessity of godliness, and the way to salvation in Christ, which is God in Christ by the Spirit living and working both in and through us. If I and other witnesses of God, by the light that God has given us, let you fellow humans know where wickedness is, who the devil is using, and what the devil is up to, you have more light than you did before God's light through us manifested it to you. How could we reprove and rebuke all the things in the world that need to be reproved and rebuked, if they were not made known to us by Christ, the light?
Or how could we reveal them unto you if we were part of the world? We are commanded by the Lord not to be part of the world. We're in the world, but we are here to reprove and rebuke the deeds of the things of the world, and to show you that the true light. And I'm sure it sounds very harsh to you. It did to me at first, but now I know that it's actually the truth. The enemy of our souls is doing everything desperately, cause you to think that the things that are being said are not the truth. As a matter of fact, every major move that the Lord has ever made with this church, there was always a fierce attack on the church, which would make a person to believe that this is really not a move or an open door from the Lord. But because of the fact that it is an open door, don't think that because you're getting a lot of oppression or a lot of resistance from some source or another that it's not a move of the Lord, because in every case in this church that God was making a big move, there was tremendous resistance. As a matter of fact, God is moving in such a powerful way now, and he tried to make it me believe, you know, that this wasn't true by sending me by the devil oppressing me to the point by sending me to prison for 4 years when my little boy was just growing up. And then sent me there in prison for the gospel's sake. It made up a false thing that I was not obedient with taxes. And now, you know, first they said I want to, that I was a homosexual. Now they're saying that I'm a pervert, that I've got hundreds of wives. And, I mean, just anything they can say to stop you people from believing the message that I'm bringing to you. Then they said I wanted to hang a federal judge. No, I don't want to hang him. I'm trying to win people's souls, not hang him. Okay? And then they said, how many other things we'd like to just, you know, they make you look like you're worse than Adolf Hitler. And when they themselves are the ones that are bombing places all over the world and killing innocent children and folks, and they killed the Christians over there at Waco, and they blow up their own federal building in the World Trade Center, and they say that I'm the pervert? Hey, you know, wake up, you people out there. They've been burning people at the stake for years because they don't believe in this satanic Catholic cult. They're the cult. They're the most dangerous cult in the world. They believe in killing you if you don't believe in Roman Catholicism, if you don't become part of the one world cult. And eventually they're going to make people take a mark on their forehead or on their hand, their right hand, to buy or sell. That's what all this identity thievery is going on. They're saying, well, the only way we can beat that now is to put a mark on our heads. That way no one can lie about who they are. We'll just wave a wand on their head and then, oh, that's you. Okay, yeah, or on your hand, to put a little microchip in there. And that's coming to it. And the Lord says, if you take that mark, if you take that microchip or whatever they're going to put on you, that there's no possible way that you can enter the kingdom of God, that you will surely spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Because this is the very same thing the Bible says is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's continue on. So don't ever take that mark. God provided food for the children of Israel for 40 years. He had manna grow up on the ground. He'll take care of you if you'll make that kind of a stand. All right? Go ahead.
Quote, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light, unquote. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. The original Greek says it like this, quote, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13.
Well, that's what I'm doing, is making the world condition visible to you.
Amen.
And the Word of God visible to you so that you can know how to think. You're not to think any other way than the Lord thinks if you want to go to heaven and stay out of hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Jesus said, quote, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. They love to hide evil in those who are wickedly doing evil, rather than making them visible, as God's word commands, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, unquote. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. Jesus also said, quote, I am the light of the world, unquote, John chapter 8, verse 12. He stated that his children, quote, are the lights of the world, unquote, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Quote, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar in this context means a people belonging especially or exclusively to God and to no one else. That they should show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, unquote. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. If we as Christians refuse to point out who the devil is using and where he is in this world, then we are not manifesting the light upon that darkness. Therefore, we are deliberately disobeying God, which is sin, and we are allowing Satan to have an advantage over ourselves, our brothers, our sisters, and all our fellow humans in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. We are to, quote, love our brethren, unquote, and are even commanded to, quote, love our enemies, unquote. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. How could we love our brethren and our enemies if we leave them in darkness by not exposing what darkness is by the light? If we don't expose the darkness to the light, they who are in darkness will remain there, and at the end of the world they will be lost. Then the blood of their souls will be on our hands because we didn't warn them. The light of God's word through his prophets exposes darkness. In this way, they take vengeance upon the, quote, spiritual wickedness in high places, unquote. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The light of God's word pulls down darkness, pulls down, quote, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, unquote. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Paul, by the Spirit, stated, quote, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? That is, we shall judge the world by God's word, unquote. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. These words are his judgments, not ours. His word is our life, our light, and the light of the world. Unfortunately for the people of the world, they love darkness rather than light and life, which could save their souls if they would only receive it. The psalmist David said the same thing in these words, quote, let the saints be joyful in glory. They glory because God is using them as his mouthpiece to exterminate with his word the darkness which is in this world. Let them sing aloud upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth to prophesy, to expose that which is dark to the light of God, and a two-edged sword in their hand, which again is the spirit of the word of God, to execute, preach vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute, preach the judgment written, this honor have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Psalms chapter 149, verses 5 through 9. Responsibility. When anyone hears the word of God, it becomes known unto them. Therefore they know it just like we do, even though they have not accepted it, and of course have not experienced the reality of it. God's word assures us they are guilty of rejecting him who is the word. Their will, which is located in their soul, is responsible for their rejection of God, the word. It is their will, it is their decision, and they shall be judged as members of wickedness on the day of judgment. It is their own fault that their souls will have to spend eternity in hell, then the lake of fire, because they willed it to be that way in their souls while they lived here on earth. If they had not heard, they would not be guilty, because, quote, where no law is, there is no transgression, unquote. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Quote, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world, unquote. Romans chapter 10, verse 18. Shocking truth. God stated through his prophet Joel in the latter days, quote, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, unquote. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. The Spirit of God, through preaching, is now being poured out upon, quote, all flesh, unquote, meaning every person. When God pours out his word through the Holy Spirit, speaking through the mouths of his ministers, people hear the reality of God through his Son, Christ Jesus, who with the Father is living out his life in other human bodies, bodies which are generated, consecrated, and obedient to him. He has become a quickening spirit or a life-giving spirit to us. Many have been resurrected with Christ into the new heavenly divine realm of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1.
Okay, I see that our time is up, and we've got quite a bit more here, at least two more parts. Tomorrow will be part 6 of the Antichrist government that's moved into the United States, real good government, and are posing now. These are Vaticanites, Roman Catholic government agents that are posing as United States government agents. U.S. agents would never burned up little children, or would never have blown up the federal building in Oklahoma City, nor would they have sent rockets into the World Trade Center. That's exactly what they were rockets. Okay, so until tomorrow, part 6, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying praise the Lord and God bless you. Amen.